Hello, hello everyone.
Welcome to Share Talk with Pastor Teresa, a show that will inspire and empower you to move you from the past and help you grab hold to your future by using biblical and practiced experience. Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will teach women of all ages that the hardship of life do not make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, you are invited to the show. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I hope you can hear me loud and clear. I hope and pray that everyone is having a great day. If you can hear me, I would like you to holler at me on Facebook and say, I can hear you very well. We are so excited on today, what we're getting ready to do. This is the first, actually, time that we're actually doing on Share Talk. Last week, we was able to do a conference call, and it was phenomenal. We had over 50 women on the line, and we had an exciting time. But today, we have some exciting information that we want to share with you, and we truly believe that you are going to be blessed on today. I have a special guest, and she is my co-host that's going to be with me on today, and she's going to be talking with us today, and we're going to be sharing. Right now, I would like to go to commercial real quick, if you can, and I'll be right back with you.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
All right, we're back, and we're getting ready to go into our session. And I have Lady Thomas here with us. Lady Thomas, can you hear us loud and clear?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Thank you, Pastor Teresa.
How was your day today?
It was good. It was good. Nice and cold, but good. God is good.
It was cold. It was cold. It was warm here. It's been raining all day long, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's raining a lot. Well, today, I don't know about you. Are you excited? Let me introduce my co-host. Her name is Nakisha Thomas. She also is my cousin, and she is a phenomenal woman. She has an awesome testimony, and she is a woman of faith, and I truly believe that God is going to use her on today and every second Monday here on Share Talk to talk to women about motherhood. We want to pour into you some tools that God has given us as we've gone through our journey, and as you all know, a journey as a mother is something, can be something else. But we want to go in and we want to minister to you. Now, ladies, we have an opportunity for you to call in. I see the lines are popping up. I'm seeing you. You're going to have an opportunity. If you have any questions, all you got to do is text me and say you have a question or you want to be chimed in. We'd be more than welcome to ask questions at that time. But right now, we're going to go into our segment. Today's segment is Healing the Little Girl Within Us First. Healing the little girl within us first. And later, Lady Thomas, what do you feel and what is the Lord is speaking to you just on the subject alone, healing little girl within us first?
Well, you know, the Lord had just placed it on my heart to let the ladies know that we're already healed. You know, you just have to receive it and believe it, that you're already healed. We may have gone through many obstacles, different things that have taken place in our life that we, you know, just been in hurt and just been in just different situations, but just relying and resting in Jesus to know that he did it all on the cross. That's the finished work. And we just have
Amen.
To receive that and believe that we are already healed. And we have to choose to forgive those that have hurt us, that have taken us to, you know, in different situations that we did not want to be in, different battles that we did not want to face. You know, we have to begin to say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to lay it at your feet, and I'm not going to pick it up again. I'm just going to rest in you and believe that it is done. I can forgive them, and I can walk past this hurt that has been placed in my life.
Amen and amen. Now, our first question, our discussion question, it says this. It says, how does carrying these past hurts and fears from our childhood hinder us and the ability of being a healthy mother now. And so I want you to go into answering that question. How do holding on to past and holding on to the, all these hurts and holding on to these people that have hurted us, how do it affect us as being healthy mothers? How do that affect us?
Oh, it really does affect us in a negative way, because we take the past hurt, all of this bondage, all of this pain, we take it into the future relationships that we may have with our children, that we may have with our sisters, our aunts. We take that baggage with us into the next relationship with someone else. If we don't, you know, begin to allow God, He has already healed us, but if we don't begin to receive that healing, we take that baggage with us into the next relationship.
Absolutely.
And we'll say, we have that battlefield of the mind and say, you know what, they're not going to hurt me again. They're not going to say what they said to me again. I'm not going to allow this to happen. And we cannot take that with each and every individual that we come in contact with, because each and every individual is different. They have something
Absolutely.
Different that God is allowing you to have that different relationship with that person. And it can be healthy, it can be whole, it can be a righteous relationship if we allow it to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think what happened is, I think as we grow with all these different fears and hurts in our lives, I believe that we don't intend to go into mm-hmm. relationships or go into when we start having children. I know for me, I had my first child when I was 14 years old, and her name is Tiffany, mm-hmm. and I had her when I was 14 years old, and I was already hurt. I was a baby having a baby, and how many people
yes.
and how many ladies out there can have that testimony that you was young, you were 16, 17, 18 years old, you really didn't know who you were, you really was not, didn't understand what love was, and you already had this baby all broken up, all these issues,
yes.
and now you got this baby that depends on you to feed and nurture and love. And how many, you know, when you don't know how to do that, you can't pass that on. And so what I believe
right.
that later on, Tom, is that it's hard for us sometimes when we have all these baggages and we have all these issues. We come in, this is not what we intended to do. We did not intend to take on that pain. We did not intend to take on the fear that came to us as a child. Now we are a parent, and now we are a parent. Now we are taking that on. Prime example, one of the things a lot of people, for the ones that don't know, I was raped when I was young. I was raped 12 times by male and female as I was 5 years old. And one of the biggest issues that I came in being a motherhood, I was very overprotective. Very overprotective.
Yes.
I would not trust nobody watching my child, which that's a good thing. But let me show you the negative side of that. I was very secluded. I did not like to be around people. I shied away
mm-hmm.
from my family. I stayed away from that. So here is one of those things that was painful for me, was fear for me. Now I brought it in parenthood because I wasn't healed from it. And so now, as me growing up as a teenager mother, and then raising
mm-hmm.
my child, I raised my child in fear. How many of you out there are raising your children in fear? Fear of what happened to you that may happen to your child. Fear of what happened to you, if it's spoken word, if it was negativity, whatever the situation may have been, that whatever happened to you, you feel that it may happen to your child. So you walk and you raise your children in fear. I was ministering to a young lady a couple weeks ago, and she was molested when she was a child. Well, when she molested when she was a teenager, and when she was molested as a teenager, she had a dress on when it happened.
Okay.
Let me show you how the enemy will play with your mind and have you walking in bondage, and not only you walking in bondage, but you have your child walking in bondage as well. Well, the young lady was talking about, we were talking about something totally different, and then she brought that up, and I just listened to her and everything. As a counselor, I'm sitting there listening to her. Okay, I see something going off here right there. And she said, you know, I don't let my child wear dresses. And so I'm like, okay, you don't let your child wear dresses. I said, why is that? She said, because when I was molested or when she was raped, she got raped when she was in a dress. I said, wow. I said, how did you connect that with your daughter? Now, of course, I knew how she connected.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to hear what her answer is going to be. You hear me, Lady Thomas? And so when she said it, and I said, do you realize that your fear you're putting on your child?
She
wants to be this little girl that wear dresses, but because you're your fear,
that's right.
Now this little girl is made and forced to walk this fear out with you. So, ladies, this is what we're talking about. How do our fears and our past hurt carry on from childhood, hinder us as a healthy mother? Now, that one situation can cause that young lady to be in a very unhealthy environment.
That's right.
Do you agree with that?
That's right. I do. I totally agree with that. My focus again is just on Jesus, allowing Him to heal the inner child within you. And whether you get pastors, deaconesses, somebody that you trust to be able to share and talk to about these things that can pray with you and wash you with the Word of God. So that way you
right.
can begin to walk out that faith and begin to trust again. First, trust in God to know that He will not harm you, but being able
right.
to trust other people as well. And then you can bring that into your relationship with your children and teach them as well that everybody that's out there is not against you. Everybody
Absolutely.
That's out
Absolutely.
There is not against you. But you just
Absolutely.
Have to, you know, trust God to let them know that there are some good people out there that are not going to harm you. And
Absolutely.
Begin that's beginning that trust. First, trusting Father God, allowing Him to heal you, and then being
right.
able to walk it out every day.
And I think what happened is when we don't embrace what God has done. Now, first of all, I remember you saying, so as we was open up, you said that you're focused on, you know, the healing of Jesus. But if you have
yes.
not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is going to sound foreign to you. You're going to be like, well, how can Jesus
That's
heal
right.
me from a hurt? And how can he do that and I'm not saved? Well, you're right. You have to get saved. The second thing
That's
is
right.
when you get saved and when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now here comes the process. Now we got to lay
That's
these
right.
hurts and these pains and these fears and this disappointment and rejection at His feet.
Right.
What do you mean at His feet? Meaning taking that you, I tell my ladies, I say, you know what? You got to go to God. And when
That's
God
right.
use an individual, which is good, because God do use pastors, and He do use evangelists
mm-hmm.
and ministers and
yes.
prophets and all those titles, He do use these
yes.
people. But you can go to God and say, God, this thing hurt me. This thing is
That's
about
right.
to kill me. And if you carry this thing as you was a child, all the way to you 18, 19, 20,
mm-hmm.
40, 50 years old, you still have time to go to God and say, God, I want you to take this away from me. I want to grow up. When I minister to women, and God prophetically let me see their inner hurt. And a lot of times I always see this little girl balled up on the inside that's balled up
my
this pain. And God showed me, yeah. He said, that's the little girl that has not grew up. That's the little girl that's broken and wounded and hurt and frustrated and mad and
that's
angry
right.
and bitter. And I said, and I speak to my little girl. I said, little girl, you can grow up now. Little girl, you don't have
yes.
to hold on to that hurt no more. You're a grown woman
that's
now.
Right.
You can grow up.
That's right.
But what happened is if nobody identified that little girl in that person,
That's
and
right.
then women, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. You said, well, nobody have done it, but you can do it to yourself because you know why?
That's
you
it.
Know where you are. You feel your
That's
pain.
Right.
You know that little
yeah.
girl has not grown up. You know that little girl is still wounded. You know the little temper tantrums that you get when you go through your moods. You can say, you can speak
yeah.
in the mirror. Speak in the mirror and say, God, I'm coming to you.
That's right.
I'm coming
That's
to
right.
you all this pain. What my mama did,
yes.
what my sister did, what my daddy did, whomever, who it was, if it was my friend, if
yes.
it was a coworker, whatever the situation may be. God, I'm bringing this to you. And when I bring it to you, I leave it to you.
That's right.
This
That's
is the
right.
problem that I see.
Have
we
faith
take
to
the
believe
problem
to
leave
him.
It. Absolutely.
Yes.
We take it to him, which is good. We take it
yes.
over. We don't have enough faith to leave it with him.
To leave it. My God.
To leave
my
it
God.
With him.
Yes.
Knowing that if I leave it to you, you say, well, Pastor Teresa, I hear what you're saying. What does that look like? What it looks like is this. I have faith enough to believe that God can heal me. I have faith enough
yes.
to believe in that his blood, this blood that was shed on the cross, it can heal me from all this pain. But when I go
That's
to that
right.
cross and when I go to Jesus in petition and go to him and pray to him and say, I want you to take this away, I have faith that he's taken away from me. When I walk
yes.
away from that, I have faith
Amen.
Now that I left it here and that Jesus is going to take my hurt, take
That's
it away
right.
from me.
That's right.
The problem is
That's
when that thought comes back, when that memory come back. Now, because now keep in mind, we hear people say, I forgive, but I don't forget. We know we're not going to forget what we have gone through, because the Bible said we overcome by the Lamb. We overcome by the word of our testimony. So you know we have not forgotten
what
we have gone through. However, forgetting those things behind us, meaning that I'm forgetting the pain of it. I do not embrace the pain and the hurt of that. I refuse to go back up under the couch. I refuse to go back up under the bed and live with this hurt again.
That's right. I remember when I went through to testify.
Go ahead, sis.
Yes, and when they leave it there at his cross, you can exchange that pain and that hurt for peace, love, and joy. Mm-hmm. You can walk away with that. Continue to speak life over that situation. Anytime it comes back up into your mind, the battlefield is right there in the mind. That's where the enemy tries to run rampant. You can stop him right dead in his tracks by speaking the word of God, speaking life over your situation, speaking life over that relationship with your family, with your children, and begin to speak life over them as well, to let them know that they're going to be victorious. They're not going to have to deal with the pain and hurt that you have dealt with, because we serve an almighty, powerful God, and they can walk in a better situation, in a better circumstances than which you have come out of, because you have the faith to continue to pour into that child the love of God.
That's right. And I truly believed, and I know what God did for me, and I know it was a process, but I believe my process was long later on, Thomas, is because I did not embrace the truth. I didn't embrace it. I had so many lies that was spoken to me that I rehearsed, because I truly believe a lot of people are rehearsing lies that
the enemy told you,
and when you rehearse that, I tell my people all the time, when you believe a lie, you live a lie, you rehearse a lie, then you live the lie, and you teach the lie. And a lot of people say, wait a minute, teach it. You teach out of that lie. So if that's what your truth is, that you can't be healed, then you're not going to be able to tell nobody they can be healed by the blood of Jesus. You're not going to be able to tell
nobody. That's right.
Because you don't believe that for yourself. Now, you do. I hear you people. You're saying, well, there's sometimes I tell people something I know I don't really believe. Well, then there won't be an effect in that. The people are not going to feel the power of God in a lie. Mm-hmm. You never can feel the power of God in a lie. You only can feel the power of God in truth. And see,
and
the truth, people, what we're trying to get you to see is that we know we all have dealt with the little girls in us. We all have done that. And what we're trying to do is get you to that place, because if you don't get to that place, sweetheart, when I'm the sister out there with you, if you don't get to that place, that same habit, that same behavior will pass down to your children. At our ministry, we really strongly try to minister to, especially to parents, to break the band, to break the soul tie, to break
that curse
and situations, break that curse, because you have children that's coming along. You have young people that's coming along that need to understand the power of God. But if they cannot see the power of God within their parents, if they can't see it, they cannot walk out something that they don't have no familiar with it too. So I'm telling you, parents, I'm telling you, lady women of God, and I know some of you out there, intercessors, your prayer warriors, your teachers, you're doing all this kind of stuff, but yet there's a void still there. There is still a little girl in you that still have not been healed, and you find yourself warm with your daughter. You find yourself still living out a lie that the enemy told you that you can't get rid of that feeling. Oh, yeah, that feeling can't go, but you got to submit it to Jesus.
Yes, it can.
Because I don't care how many people you talk to. I don't care what prophet you go to, they'll prophesy your destiny. But until you let that little girl grow up and get healed, that little girl always going to rise up and pull you back. Our next question, Lady Thomas, is this. What are our fears for our children? You know, what are our fears for our children? You know, we talked about, how these past hurts and past pains as a childhood hinder us to the ability to be healthy mothers. But what are our fears for our children? What fears that a lot of parents, a lot of mothers that you know of, that that they have fears for their children?
I believe the fears that a lot of us have for our children is that they'll be overtaken by this wicked world, they'll succumb to drugs or to prostitution or different things that they have seen and grown around. But as you begin to teach them the word of God, and just train them up in the word, they will not soon, you know, leave it. They'll learn the right way. You're teaching them right from wrong instead of letting the world teach them. And that's, I think that's a lot where our fears come from, because a lot of times we parents have to work. They have to leave them with a babysitter. They have to leave them in a certain environment that they hate. But at the same time, if you're taking that time out to pray over them, to watch them with the Word of God, to train them up, then you just trust them with God. And that's what we have to do is learn to trust them with God. God has blessed us with these children. They're not all of ours. They're not just to ourselves for us to keep. We have to give them back to God and say, God, you blessed us with these precious little babies, but I'm going to put them back in your hands, and I'm going to trust you to take care of them.
Absolutely. And I think to add to that what you're saying, I think a lot of times our fears is we're feared that sometimes, like I talk to a lot of mothers, and there's one of the fears I know, especially when their children, especially daughters, get into teenage years. They go into that thing, oh, I don't want my child to be like me, my fear. So what they're trying to do, they'll try to get down to the end of the corner and go ahead and answer all the questions and want them for every little thing, and which is good. Mm-hmm. But however, if you wanted them without God, it ain't going to work.
That's right.
And
I said,
I warn mine and I tell them about God and everything. I said, but see, I tell a lot of people, when you want a tree to bend to the left, what time frame should you bend that tree? You have to bend that tree when it's a baby, when it's just a
little.
When it's coming from the ground up. We can't wait till our teenagers get 15 and 16 years old. Then we want to train them in the things of the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you, sister, is this. You have to be disciplined with your life so that you can
That's
be disciplined
right.
with your child's life. You got to
That's
know the
right.
word for yourself so you can teach the word to your child. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way it should go. And when they go, you won't have to worry about the parting.
That's right. That's
up.
Right.
But what do that train up mean? What do that train up looks like? That train up looking like is you're going to God with them. You're praying with them. You're praying over them at night. They can hear you praying. They can feel the prayer that you're praying over them. They're not watching anything. They're doing everything. They're getting involved in everything, because a lot of times some of our children are just confused. They're just really confused. They don't know if you're coming or going. They don't have a consistency in God. And so I believe a lot of time us as women, especially with our daughters, we fear that they're going to be like us, especially if they was anywhere like me, because I was off the chain. You may wasn't off the chain when you was coming up. I think you was a little, you was special. you wasn't off the chain, cousin.
Oh, I was. Believe me, I was off the chain.
I don't remember that.
I was off the chain. Not as much as some, but just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Because all I remember that.
Just a little bit,
She's a good girl. She's a good girl going to college. She's a good girl. Now, me, on the other hand, I was off the chain. However, when I started having my kids and started raising them, and their fear. Because now I remember
That's
who
right.
I used to be. And I did not
That's
get
right.
taught these principles. I didn't. So even I did not teach them at an early age, but I remember when I did start getting in church, because we always knew church now. Family always kept us
That's
in church.
That's right. Now,
we knew of God. We probably didn't know the power of God, but we knew
Amen.
Of God.
We didn't have that. And we didn't have that relationship.
Absolutely, we didn't have that relationship.
We've seen
miracles. We've seen the possessed.
That's
we've
right.
seen all of that. You know, auntie, they'll tell you about it, tell you what Jesus say in a minute. But when
Amen.
It comes down to that personal relationship,
That's right.
We did not have that. And so because I did not have that, I did not teach that to my children when it was younger. But when I got to the building, when my mind changed, and when I got to the cross for myself, then
That's
my
right.
life started changing. And when my life started changing, of course, my children's direction, they were
That's
going
right.
to start
That's
changing.
Right.
So I thank God that, and ladies, I hear you out there, you're saying, you walking in fear because I don't want my daughter to get pregnant. I don't want my daughter this. I don't want to happen that. None of us, no parent wants our children
exactly.
to get caught up
exactly.
in sin and get caught up
That's
in different
right.
things. I know at our ministry, we minister to our young people and say, we done enough sin enough.
Mm-hmm.
We done made enough mistakes enough for you don't have to try that. However, I truly believe we start raising our children as children and protecting their gateways. Protecting
That's
their
right.
gateways. That's another thing. We have to protect our young people gateways. And how do you
That's
do
right.
that? You got to pay attention to what they listen to. You got to pay
That's
attention
it.
To what they watch. You can't be their friend. You're
That's
not
right.
going to
That's
be their
right.
girlfriend. Now, I truly
That's
believe,
right.
I truly believe this, sis, that, you know, out of your relationship, friendship comes. But that's not my
that's
first
it.
Thing I'm thinking about. You hear what I'm saying? Because my daughter, my oldest
exactly.
daughter, she's 26 years. My oldest daughter, she's 26 years old.
Okay.
But we have a very good relationship. We got a very close relationship. And my baby girl, she's not the baby, but the next to the oldest, she's the 21. We have a good relationship. Now we go through a lot, but we kind of go through a lot because I see a lot of me
yeah.
in her, and I see a lot of mistakes mm-hmm. that mistakes that I made that she's some back in the past used to make a lot. And so I had to stay on top
mm-hmm.
of her a little bit more than I had to stay on my oldest one. And then my other two babies, because we're a blended family. I don't know about you. I'm a blended family. Me and my husband,
okay.
he have two and I have two. And we have a blended family.
Okay.
We have a 26-year-old, 21, 18, and going on 16 though. And she was on the line.
Okay.
She said, no, I'm going on. If I say she's 15, she'll say, I'm going on 16. Okay, baby, you going on 16.
We'll correct you in a minute, huh?
Okay.
Yes.
So,
oh, my God.
Being a blended family, that comes with its own challenge all by itself.
Obstacles,
and that's
yeah.
going to be another segment. That's going to be a whole other segment. I have a special guest going to be with us when we get on that segment.
Okay.
But what I want to say is this, that when we're talking about fears for our children. I don't know what your fears is, sisters out there, ladies out there as you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your fears are for your children. But I promise you, if you're living right and you're doing what you're
yes.
supposed to do and you're training your children up, just like Lady Thomas said, you have to believe in the prayers that you're praying. When you send them to
That's
school,
right.
whatever the situation may be, you got to take them to the daycare because of who you are and your relationship with God. You just got to believe. You have to believe
That's
that
right.
God's going to cover our children. You got to believe
That's
and you
right.
got to know the power of your prayers. You got to know
That's
that.
Right.
So whatever fears that you have for your children, give that fear to Jesus. Give
That's
it to
right.
God. I know
That's
you're saying,
right.
Well, I don't want to be so deep. There's nothing else. There's no other formula that we have out here. The formula
That's
that
right.
the world have is not going to work. The only form
Not
that we
all.
Can use, the only method that we can use is the method of God, the method of the
yes.
cross, the method of Jesus Christ, because he did it all
yes.
for us. Our next question is, sis, is it possible, and we already kind of answered this, we kind of answered this in so many ways, is it possible
mm-hmm.
to be a healthy mother? Is it possible?
It is. It really is.
So
it
possible.
Really is. And what you were saying, Pastor Teresa, is with you saying, you know, being that woman of God, being that man of God, to be able to, you know, you change your mind. When you repent, it's all about your mind. You're changing your mind to
mm-hmm.
believe what God says is for you. And when you do that and you have these children and you're teaching them and training them the same way, you're doing it. You're being a healthy
Absolutely.
Parent. When you're leading them in the ways of God, of the Word, you're doing it. You're being a healthy parent. You're doing the best that you can, which is trusting them with Jesus, trusting them with God,
yes.
leaving them in his hands. You're being a wonderful parent. You're being a healthy parent. You really
now,
are.
Now, let me add it because I'm always the challenger. Everybody tell me, Pastor Teresa, a challenge in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not only we have to preach and minister the word of God, we have to set that example. We
That's
have
right. We
to give them
yes.
an example of what Christ is. You know, they're
exactly.
not going to see Jesus until Jesus come. If they saved and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're not going to see him on the physical until he come and get us. However, the only Jesus they know is going to be through
you.
So if you're
That's
not
right.
living
That's
that
right.
example for them,
That's right.
I'm telling you, a lot of these children are confused. Because they don't know.
They
are. They stand Jesus on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday, well, let's say we skip Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday,
yeah, I know,
Thursday,
right?
Friday, and Saturday, it's a whole
yes.
other person. Let me tell you,
yes.
I'd like to submit to you. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
I was going to say the important thing is not so much of what you say, it's what you do. They're watching
Absolutely.
You. They're watching your step. Every step that you make, they're watching you when you're on the phone with someone. They're watching you
mm-hmm.
when you're interacting with someone right face to face. They're watching you to see, are you living what you're preaching to me? Are you living
Absolutely.
It? If you can live
Absolutely.
It and be that role model for them, then they're going to say,
Absolutely.
You know what, if my mom can do it and my dad can do it, so can I. So can
Absolutely.
I.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're talking about, is it possible, this is this question, the third question, is it possible to be a healthy mother? It is absolutely possible.
Yes.
I truly believe, me and my husband tell our ministry and those who we mentor, we tell them all the time, I said, you know, a lot of people say it's so hard to be saved. It's so hard, man, this thing is hard. But what hard make it hard is because we're trying to do two things. We're trying to please God and please our flesh at the same time. Yeah, that what makes
exactly.
it hard.
Exactly.
When I was out in the world and I was out there big, and I was out there big for the ones out there in radio land, you heard my testimony, you know my testimony, if you know anything about me. I was out there, and I didn't realize how easy it was and how easy to embrace his love, embrace his forgiveness, embrace his healing until I embraced it. But before, prior to that, I let the enemy tell these lies that I can't be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I can't walk this out. I never can really get over this. I would never. I had a hot temper. Oh, baby, Lord Jesus. That's a whole other story right there, baby.
Yes.
You know, I really, very was hot tempered. I really was. And I never thought at that time, I never thought that I can let that go. I never thought I could ever be healed. I really thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was mental. They had classified me as schizophrenic when I was younger. And as I was coming up as an adult, I went schizophrenic for 2 years for sure and just lost my mind. I will work during the day, and I become schizophrenic at night. And so I embraced what the enemy said about me. I believed what he said about me, and I walked it out. I was a functional, very, very functional schizophrenic person. I would change in a minute on you. And I realized something. When I came to the knowledge of Christ, I'm talking about really becoming, when I really truly had my encounter with God, I would never, never forget it. A lot of things didn't change right away, but they start changing because my mind started changing. Because
that's
I stopped
right.
believing.
That
I stopped
yes.
believing that he can
yes.
heal me. The key thing,
that's
believers,
right.
I want to say to you, you got to believe that you can become a better mom. When I was, as I stated, I had my first child when I was 14 years old, and I was abused. I child abused my daughter when she was younger. A lot of stuff she said she don't remember, some things she do remember. And I'm not ashamed of my testimony because I know it's somebody out there that you're shooting your children off. If you're not abusing them physically, you're abusing them mentally or emotionally. And I'm telling you something. I'm telling you, you're not by yourself. You're talking to a
That's
pastor.
Right.
You're talking to a woman of God and minister a lot of places and do a lot of stuff. However, I had that problem too. But when I took my problem to Jesus, but let me tell you what I did. I had, you know, we all have those moments when we say, God, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like that. But then we constantly, you know, when that time comes and you're irritated and they come and ask me these questions and stuff like that. I remember one time with my daughter, which is the one I abused, Tiffany, she just asked me a question and I just went off. And unfortunately, I picked my daughter. She had to have been like 5 or 6 years old. I picked my daughter up, put her over my head, and I threw her against the wall. It was at that moment, Keisha, that I said, I need help. I was young. I was a baby having a baby. I was a baby raising a baby. Did not know because I was abused, and that's all I knew. All I knew was violence. That's all I knew. So I didn't know nothing. I thought that was the way things go. And so I abused my daughter as she was coming up. But I never forget, and I was 18 years old. I didn't have my second child until I was 21. But I remember I said, God, I want to be like that. I used to cuss her out. I used to be the thing. I mean, I really was bad. I was a bad parent. And so I'm talking to somebody out there. I'm talking to somebody that you're beating yourself up for what you did in the past to your children. And you want to, you don't know how to get past it. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get past that. When I got to the place, I said, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be whole. I wasn't saved. I knew of God. I went to church. I went to church.
Yes.
But I did not know. I didn't have no
encounter
with him.
Yes.
I did
That's
not
right.
know him. In the pun of my sin, I didn't really know him. I didn't give it to him. And I never forget, listeners, I hope you're listening, I never forget I got to the place I was crying so bad because I seen this light-skinned little girl, which is my daughter. I'm like, I'm a killer. End up killing her. And that's not what I want. That's not what I want to do. But I could not restrain my anger. When my anger got there, I was gone. I would literally gone and nothing can get me back. But I never forget, I was in my bedroom one night, Lady Thomas, and I said to God, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. Mm-hmm. I want to be healed. I really don't want to be like this. I really don't want to be like this. I don't want to hurt my daughter. I don't want to. I got tired of me. And I never, I was on my way. That night I prayed. I really, really cried out to God. And I was tired of cussing her out. She didn't do anything. She was a really good child. She had no child deserved that. No child deserved
exactly,
that.
Exactly,
exactly. I end up at the grocery store somewhere, and this lady had stopped me, and she ministered to me, and she didn't know who I was, and I didn't know her. And she ministered to me. She said, God is going to use you great. I'm like, lady.
Wow.
Lady, you don't know me. I'm off the chain.
You thought she was telling you a lie, huh?
Girl.
But God will use people.
You see, when you're confused, when you're not sure, but when your heart seek after him.
Yeah.
I need you to hear me, Lisa. This is what I'm saying. My heart seeking after God. I didn't go to Mary right away. I went to God. I said, God, I want to be healed. He said, you ask for it. Let me put you in position.
I'm going to put you in position.
When he put me in position, I was in the store, and that was started. The lady started talking to me and ministering to me about just me, talking about what she saw me and thank you, Holy Spirit. Just realize it. A lot of things that she saw then, I'm doing now.
Amen.
But I didn't see it then because I was broken. I was in the middle of my stuff. But I tell you, listeners and ladies out there, sisters out there, I started my process. And when I started my process, I started in my temper. I started training my thought process. I started training my mind with the word of God. I had to replace what I was thinking with the word. And a lot of you out there, you want all this stuff. You want to be healed, but you're part of the process. See, God is the healing up there, but you got to get in the word. You're not going to be able to do this without his word. If you're sitting there watching BET all day long after you get off work and after your mind and the job had your mind for 18 hours and then you get off work and you just entertain yourself with entertainment and you don't get into that word, I'm telling you, sweetheart, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to get healed and you're not going to be able to be that healthy mother. So I want to say to you, because I just want to piggyback on what she said, yes, Jesus can wipe all that away and yes, you got to get in the word, all that. But you got to know. You got to know that you have to live a disciplined life. You're not going to be able to go do willy-nilly and do anything and everything and think God is going to answer your prayer. No, it's not going to happen like that. And not going to take that void and take that stronghold and take that thing away from you. It just ain't going to happen like that. It just ain't going to happen like that. So we want to go ahead and we have – do you have something else for that?
Oh, no, I don't. I'm just – no.
Okay, we want to go to a commercial real quick, and I'm going to come right back. We're going to go to a commercial real quick, and we're going to come right back. Stand by.
Okay.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
Amen. We're back. We're back, and we're talking about healing the little girl that's within us first. And the most important thing that, and I know I hear you saying, well, my children grown, or I'm a grandmother now. It's never too late. My daughter is 26 years old, married, got her own baby, and I'm still being that mother. Do understand that you're going to be a mother until God take you home.
You're going to still be that
person that your children are going to come to you for advice, instructions, and all, because they realize, especially when they get married and especially when they become parents, they've never been parents before. So they need a pattern. They still need someone. They still need their mommy and their daddy to be in their life and minister to them. So, yes, I'm talking to you, even you, that you're saying, well, my children are already grown, so I don't know. I made all my, but you still have time. One of the things I want to interject and tell you, ladies, that what I did with my kids when I was coming up, I set my children down in my living room right before my husband came, and did not know he was coming. And I didn't realize, because I always had a man in my life, always. And that's going to be another segment. We're going to talk about it tonight. But I always had a man in my life, and I never had time with my children, never had time to heal from all the experiences that I had. I went from one relationship to another, jumping from one relationship to another, and blah, blah, blah. Well, this particular night, I remember I was actually in a homeless shelter at the time, and I said to them, I remember God telling me, I need you to do it my way this time. I need you to do it my way. And I did not know what he meant when he said that, but I said, okay, I actually submitted to what he said. I submit to what he said. And when I submit to what I said, he gave me specific instructions and told me to go apologize to my children. I went into the little room that we had in the homeless shelter, and I apologized to my children. I told them, I am sorry. I am so sorry that I was so involved into my hurt and into my pain and my fears and my rejection and my pain and all that until I didn't even recognize what I was doing to y'all. I didn't recognize my baby girl. She was at the time, again, remember, I'm a blended family, so when I say baby girl, now I'm talking about my baby girl, which is a 21-year-old. She had to been maybe 3, 4, 5 years old. But my oldest daughter, she had to been like 10, something like that, because they're 5 years apart. And my baby girl didn't know what I was talking about, but my older girl did. And I just told her, I said, for now, it's going to be, I said, from right now, I said, until Jesus, I said this, and it was so hard for me to say it. Lord Jesus, it was so hard for me to say it. I said, I would not bring a man into our life until, because I never, hear me, I never went without a man in my life. So never at that time. And so I told him, I told my older daughter, I said, if I'm not married by you get 13 years old, I won't get married until you get grown. I said, because I'm not going to bring another man while you're going into being a teenager. Again, that's fear. And then I went and said, we're going to, this next year and a half, I'm going to dedicate my life straight to the Lord. It's going to be all about God. It's going to be you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be you and God. That's it. And when I did that, you should have seen my oldest daughter's face. Now, again, my baby girl, she don't know what's going on. But a lot of stuff still affected her, even though she did not know what was going on. But I would tell you this, Lady Thomas, is when I did that, I felt the chain breaking off my family.
Very
thing I was trying not to do, the very thing I said, Lord, I want, God said, you're going to have to be disciplined in your life to get this. So I want to tell someone out there that you want something great from God for you and your children, for you and your daughter. You want a better relationship, but you're going to have to work for it. It's not going to come easy. But however, God is easy. He makes it easy.
That's right.
I don't care what the situation may be. I promise you it could be difficult because these challenges and these things that happen in our lives, he don't do them, but he allowed them to build our faith because God is not sin. And so we can't say God, he creates everything. No, he don't create sin. But what he will use the very thing that was planned to kill you, he will use to build you. And that is the reason why God had gave me up this talk show, so that you can understand the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but it can make you better as we share, talk, and grow. So our last question, Lady Thomas, is this. Why do we need inner healing? When it comes to our children, we know we need inner healing for our marriages. We dealt with that. That's every first Monday we deal with that. But why do we need inward healing when it comes down to us being an effective mom and a healthy mother?
Because we don't want it passed on. We don't want those generational curses passed on from us to our children. And so it's very important for us to receive the healing that Jesus has given us so that we can pass on to them a healthier life, a loving God. Let them know that God, like you said, he doesn't put sin on us. He doesn't put bad things on us. But we know that we can trust the God. Say it again.
Absolutely right.
So we know that we can trust God that he's going to turn all of these things around for our good. Just like with you being able to sit with your children and say, I'm so sorry, and it's going to be better from now on. It was because God has turned those things around that had been disappointing, all that hurt, all of that pain. He's turned around so now that you have joy with your children. You have joy with your grandbaby because he has turned it around for your good. The good, you know,
God loves us so much. He wants nothing but good for us.
Right.
He's a good God. He doesn't
right.
give us good because we are good. He does it because
that's
he's
right.
a good God.
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
That's one of the a main reason for us to not want to take that hurt and that pain and all of that stress and guilt and pass it on to our children. We want to pass them on the life that God said that he gave to us. Not only did he give us life, but he has given us life more abundantly. And we want to pass that on to the next generation so that they
that's
can
right.
know that we serve an almighty, all-powerful God that loves us
amen.
Unconditionally.
Amen. Amen. I absolutely agree with you. And we do, and I think that's one of the things that we got to do. I tell my ministry, me and my church, my husband's ministry, we tell them all the time, I say, you know, we sit here and we ask these questions, why generation, the next generation, and all this violence and with all it. I say, you know what, and I have to be honest with you and honest with our listeners. I tell my people, I say, listen, what you see, what's going on is our fault. It's our fault. It's the generation prior to. It's maybe not be everybody because everybody did not drop the ball, but it was too many
that's
of
right.
us dropped the ball.
That's
a lot
right.
of us had
that's
instructions.
Right.
A lot of us got warnings from our parents, got warnings from a pastor or a minister or somebody and told them, seek the Lord while he can be found. We got, we was told, but we did not do that. And when we did
that's
not right. do that and we stayed out there too long, so long, too long, and then we had children in the midst of it. We had children in the midst of, and then it was brought up in their environment. And now, Holy Ghost, now that you say now, but they don't live, your child's 15, 16 years old, and they don't live 10 years or 12 years of your life of a hellion, and now you say now. You got it. You understand. Oh, Lord, I love Jesus. But your child was raised 12, 10 years of all that, all the drinking, all the smoking,
that's
all the
right.
clubbing,
that's
all
right.
the this. And so now we have to do the same thing God did with us, have patience.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
The Bible
said,
with love and kindness, I draw thee. Now we got to lift
that's
him up high so he can draw them. Now we set the tone and tell them, like, even with my kids, I used to let them listen to all, at that time, I let them listen to music. I used to listen to oldies. I was never into a lot of that stuff, but I was mostly into the older music, you know. Girl, stop. Remember you was a big, remember them Palm Terrace? Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh,
oh
God,
my
that's
God.
That's a whole other subject. Oh Lord, bring me back, Jesus.
But
bring
it's just so awesome, Pastor, that we, you know, we got these testimonies to let people know that it is not too late. It is not too late. It is not over. As long as you are breathing and you have another day of life, that's a chance for you to change. Change your mindset. And be able to pour that into the children, your children, and let them know that it's never too late.
That's right.
Love,
it's never
just
late.
Like God loves us unconditionally, you love them unconditionally through it all. As you said, that they've been growing up, you know, 12, 17 years with your mess, living for the world. Love them through it and continue to show them God's love. That agape love that never changed. You know what? Just let them know that, you know what? I'm going to still love you. Even though you're going through this right now, it's not over. It's not done because you're victorious. I speak that over you right now. Where you are now is not where you're going. God is taking you into mighty places to where you're going to be powerful and be able to bring the next person up from out of that situation that you've come from. So it just blesses me to be able to talk with you, and we can reminisce and say, you know, we used to do this, child, we used to do that, and look where we are now. Look what God has done. We can point them again.
And you know, and it comes with submitting to him. It comes with
submitting
to him.
That's right.
Because it could not be a testimony if we didn't finally pass the test. We had to finally pass some things for it had to be a testimony, because we're not living in our past. We're not living in our mistakes. We're not living in. We tell our ministry all the time that when we minister out of the heart of God, the wisdom of God, but we minister out of our mistakes to let you know you don't have to make that mistake. You don't have to go down that street. Babe, I done been there. I said, but if you want to hit your head, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Now, and I tell young people all the time, that don't mean that you're going to make it. We're praying that our young people make it. We're praying that our young people are going to see. And, you know, I know we got this saying, they'll come, God did it for us, he'll do it for them. That's true. That is very true.
Yes.
But we're living in a time now, the way these kids are coming out this world right now, I don't want to play with God. And we don't want to give them a form of God of pain, you know, a God of,
you know,
he's a merciful God. Yes, he's a God. Of, I'm going to get you. And, yes, I'm a, he's a merciful God and graceful God, too.
Yes,
however, we're getting to the place where you got a lot of young people. We got a lot of young people and a lot of, even not young people, but adults that they, they're, you know, I don't want to word, what's the word for it?
They're
so numb. They they know when it comes to God. I mean, you know, we think everything goes in the church. Everything. Anything, I can do anything I want to do and still say, it's Jesus. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You're not going to make God out a liar. If he said it, that settles it. We can't change word. His word doesn't change. Now, we change, but his word doesn't change. So,
not
we
at all.
Back to the question. Why do we need that inner healing? We need inner healing because we don't want to pass that generational curse. We
need that
inner healing if we ever want to be a healthy mother. We need that inner healing, people, women, ladies out there, sisters out there. You need that inner healing. You may say, I don't understand how to get there. Well, that's the reason why you on Share Talk. I understand it. I don't think it's that bad. I just want you to, I told a mother Sunday, I said, if you cannot do it for yourself, do it for your children that you're leaving.
That's right. That's right. That's
if you can't do it for yourself, don't pass that stuff down. Because unfortunately, I hate to see and our children fighting with their parents' demons. They're fighting with their parents' issues. They gone on, God bless it, some of the parents have left, but then some of the parents' children are fighting with their parents because the Bible talks about the generation curse, and it talks about the generation to generation, and it will pass down. The Bible does not lie.
That's right. It tells the truth.
However, we got to get to a place, people. We got to get to a place. That when we go before God and we talk to our children, we minister our children, we can't tell them about Jesus just on Sunday. We got to tell them about Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We got to have some type of conviction when they go to the school, when they get into these programs at the school. They got to have some type of conviction. They don't have to get involved in everything. Now, am I saying that children should not baby get in activities? That's not what I'm saying. But when it go against the rule of God, when it go against the principle of God, when it go against who we are as a family, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do that. We're not.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That is so true. I was just going to say, they need those boundaries. They really do to know, like I was saying, to be able to teach them from right and wrong and be able to let them know what the boundaries are. We're living for God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can't do everything that you see Johnny do. You can't do everything that you see Susie do because you're not them. You're a child of God. They're a child of God, too. Don't get me wrong. But you know who God is. Right now, they don't know. And by you living this life right here, they're going to look at your life and they're going to say, oh, my God, there's something different. They may have questions. And then that'll be a chance for you to share with them so that they can know God. So like you were saying, they can't do everything that they see their friends doing because we live a different life. We're living for the Lord. We are living for the Lord. And we got to show them
that. And it
can
be challenging. It could be challenging, you know, when you're raising a Christian kids. And because I know as I was raising my children, and as we done got to that place and I got married, me and my husband, we doing ministry, we doing all this kind of stuff. And my children, they'll tell me, I have a daughter, we have our younger kids. My oldest daughter, she's gone. She's like, she literally, she's off the God. But our younger children, you know, it's hard being pastor kids. Yeah, it is at times, especially when we're not pastor kids. We don't say, well, we give them an excuse. Well, since you pastor kids, y'all can get away with little stuff. No, ma'am.
That's right.
No. It don't work like that.
Because
you got to understand, you are a priest.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, Pastor, let me tell you this real quick. Because with my son, they used to mess with him because he didn't used to go out to the basketball games and all of this and that. And they'd be like, "Oh, DT, what you out? You out? They let you out of the house?" So yeah, I understand what you said about being a pastor's kid. We set certain limitations to let you know we're not raised like every. You're not raised like everybody else. You can't do everything that everybody else is doing. And that, like you said, we have to be able to have that steadfast life in art. We have to set limitations for ourselves, is what I'm trying to say. You know, we have to let people know that, you know what, you going to the club, baby. I can't go to the club. I'll see you on Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'll see you in church.
You
know, so we have to be able to let our children know that, you know what, we're going to live for God and we're going to show you how. We're going to take you by the hand and we're going to show you how. We're not just going to tell you, but we're going to show you. So
I'm sorry, tell you why.
Yes.
That's the problem. I think that when people say you spoon feed, you strong arm, or you know that kind of stuff they say about, you know, now I'm just pastor kids, but parents that are Christians and trying to live that Christian life. Because when I was bringing my girls up, yes, we got talked about. Me and my husband, you got talked about too. They was like, oh yeah, they too deep, they too serious. Oh my God, they can't listen to worldly music. They can't do nothing. I bet when they get away from their parents, they're gonna be off the chain. But the Bible says if you raise them up, you know, I'm not
trying to
teach you to be a two-faced Christian.
I need
you to hear me, somebody. Because when we're teaching them, when you set the standards, it's just like I tell people all this rule all the time. The law is the law. They tell you the speed law tells you don't to go over so many miles. And you do it in a way. Now, you may get by with it, but when you do get caught, there's going to be a consequences. There's going to be a consequences for when we don't follow the rules and regulations. I tell my girls, I said, I understand. My oldest daughter, she used to bump against it to my mom, but my friends got boyfriends, or my friends and this and my friends that, and they doing this and they doing that. Why y'all got to be so deep? Why y'all can't just be like regular parents? I said, because we're not raising regular children.
That's right.
We're not raising regular children. We don't want y'all get blended into the world like that. And so when y'all get grown, y'all got so much stuff to fight against because you've been exposed to pornography and you've been exposed to all that stuff. And a lot of people think, well, they're going to get it anyway. If they get it, they get it on their own, but they would never have permission from me.
Exactly.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's a total difference.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you go before God on the behalf of your children, and you can be able to say, God, I raised them according to the word. But if you raise them according to the word and the world, then you're not gonna be able to prove God his word. You're not gonna be able to say, God,
what you said in your word.
But I said it in my word. But you know, Friday when you let your child go to that club. You know that Friday when you let your child
then
dress a certain type of way, when I say women should be dressed modest,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I know that I lost about 3 calls when I said that, Lord Jesus. I'm just playing. I ain't losing the callers. I'm messing with our callers.
I know.
But my point is this.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, I'm so serious about it. You're not talking to someone. You're not talking to people that didn't have to live it themselves. You're not talking to people that did not have to do. We raise our children. You have a 4. You're still raising practically because you have a 4-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Yes.
I got it.
Yes,
ooh, Jesus,
ma'am.
Lord,
and I got a grandbaby. Okay.
And I teach my daughter. I teach my daughter and my son-in-law. I said, listen, do what was not done with y'all. Do not allow her, because it's so much. Just think about the stronghold that y'all got. Now, thank God for my oldest daughter. She was able to get married, and she was married, and she was never touched. I thank God for that. But that came along because we put principles up there, and then she finally grasped it. She said, Mom, I understand. She said, and I told her when she was much younger, like 13, 14, 15, she was a buck. Yes, she said, but Mom, everybody else. I said, Tiffany, you ain't like everybody else.
That's right.
And
I'm so sorry
that your friends and their friends' parents don't see the importance to guard their gateways. I said, well, I promise you, if you just follow these steps, you follow these rules, when you get older, when it's time for you to get married, you're going to thank me. You hear me?
Yes.
You're going to thank me and your father that we protected you. And you don't have to compare your husband to nobody else, because you don't save yourself. And you don't have
these
worries in the mind when it comes down to pornography and the music. Now, she dealt with the music thing. She did do the music thing. But she started really young on her own.
Gotcha.
After did not know that she was dealing with it. She came to confess. She set us down and she said, Mom, Dad, I need to confess to you guys. I've been listening to, I think it was T.I., somebody. And I'm like, when do we have time to do that?
But you know what, Pastor? Well, they put it in the schools. They put it in the schools, in gym, everything. So it's like they have no other choice but to hear it. You know what I'm saying? It's like they don't have nowhere else to go. They're at the school. But we have to protect them and
not. But she was entertaining on her own, not just the school. Not She had her baby. She said, no, I was listening to it, some earplugs in my room. But let me tell you, I'm going to say this and then we got to go on. Let me say to you, listen, I want you to catch this testimony right here. I want you to catch this. She told me, she sent me and her father down, and she said, I've been listening because we've been, like, telling them how what the music do to them, the background, the history of the music, blah, 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 da-da-da. And so she, you know, I could tell you, I know kids going to be kids, and we understood that, but we still had to put that principle out there and let them know this is not what we choose to do, and we don't want y'all to do it. Now, we ain't crazy enough. I hear you, listeners. Child, those kids, yes, they are. However, they have a rule that they know to set in the house. So anyway,
that's right.
She sat us down in the living room, and she said, Ma and Dad, I need to talk to y'all. And she said, and see, during that time, my daughter would wake up, oh, my God, be so angry. She would wake up so angry, and I was thinking, well, maybe she missed her biological father. I don't know. I said, maybe there's some things, strongholds between that relationship. I'm not sure. Well, this particular day, when she came to us, she said, Ma, I need to confess that you know how y'all told us not to have this music in the house, blah, 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 blah. Well, I have not doing that. I've been listening to T.I. for, I think she said, a year or so. And I'm like, really? Okay. I said, okay. I said, so what made you tell us the truth? She said, because 2 weeks ago, she said, 2 weeks ago, I heard something you said and heard something Dad said, and I said, I'm going to try it. She said, she stopped listening for a week. And she said, she was going to sleep with it in her ear. That's why we never knew, because we never heard it in the house.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, we'll throw TVs and stuff away. Okay, that's our rule. Okay, we catch it. We just throw your radio away. That's all. You just went on radio.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I know, listeners, I hear you. That's too deep, right? I know. But anyway. So anyway, she said, Ma, I said, I stopped listening for a whole week. And she said, and I said, you know what? I remember for a whole week, for 2 weeks, you wake up in the morning and be so different. What happened? She said, I stopped listening to that music. And she said, I really thought y'all was exaggerating.
She said,
I was waking up a whole year, this girl will wake up. We'll say good morning. She's like, hey, good morning. What? Girl, don't make me slap you.
She wakes up
acting like a demon. I'm serious. And this 2 weeks, you know, she did it for 2 weeks, but she was telling me that the first week she recognized she wasn't acting like that. And I said, wow. So God showed her on her own, and she confessed to us. She said, you ain't got to worry about that no more. On her own.
My God. He revealed it.
I really see the difference. I'm not anxious. I'm not mad. I wake up better now. And I said, Tiffany, you know what? I see the difference. What I'm saying, listen, is this. You have to trust God. When God gave you rules, he gave us rules in his Bible for a reason. I said, even when our children, yes, they do have a lot of temptations. They do got a lot of, you know, wars and things against them. And the friends, oh, your parents deep. And I know that because my kids deal with it and dealt with it too. However, that's where you got to trust God at. You cannot fall in to the pressure of the world because you don't want your children to get picked on or be executed because they are Christian kids. The Bible said there should be a difference. He said he called us out from amongst that.
That's right.
Not to say to look at them and judge them. That's not what I'm talking about because a lot of people really misunderstand what judging is because you do have to judge situations to make conscious decisions. So people are going to take that out of content right there, but I'm not doing that tonight. But what I want to say to you, listeners, this mothers, we are, and we're going to get to that segment next time, we are our first children teachers.
Yes.
My question to you is, what are you teaching your children?
Yes.
What are you teaching your daughter? We're teaching, for some of y'all that's married, you're teaching your daughters how to be a wife. How you been a wife? How do that look for you? How that looks in your house? Does she see you strong-holding your husband? Does she see you back-talking and nagging? Or what? I ain't going to go there tonight. But you're teaching, if you're a mother, you're teaching your children how to become a mother. So how is your motherhood? Do understand that we're going to have to give stewardship. We're going to have to give account to our of our marriages, of our children, of every relationship, our friendships. We're going to have to give an account to God of things that he left us in his hand, in our hands. My question to you tonight, what is your stewardship? What would you say? How would you grade your stewardship over your children? We're not here to condemn you by any means, but we are here to tell you that you got to get healed from the inside out. You got to get you got to get that healing, so therefore you can be that productive and healthy mother, so that you can help your daughter understand that there is a reason why you can't have a boyfriend. There's a reason why you can't wear that. That's the reason why you can't go there. There's a reason why you can't be that. Because you are a peculiar people. You are different. Yes. You are set aside. You're supposed to be different from them.
Yes.
And mothers, the ones that your daughters and your sons are already out your house and you feel like you don't pass that time and it's too late. No, it's not too late. Let me tell you something. There was a woman named Hannah. She prayed for a son. And let me tell you, it's not the son that I want you to really to be focused on. I want you to be focused on the point that she prayed. I want you to be on the focus of how she went before God and petitioned her God and sought her God out about a son, and she got a son. So the prophet thought she was drunk. She was going before God, and he thought she was drunk. My question to you tonight is, how far are you going with God? That your relationship could be misjudged, that they think you drunk. No, we don't want you drinking out there. Now I'm just.
Yeah, I know that's right.
I want to minister to you. What we want to minister to you in this last part, and then I'm going to open up and see if anybody have any questions that you may want to, and I could take you off of mute. I just need to know if you have a question. All you got to do is text, and I will know that you have a question, and I could take you off, and you will be on the air live and ask your question or your comment or your statement pertaining to the subject on tonight. But as we conclude this segment, I want to say to you that God is a healing God. Yes, he is. The Bible says by his stripes we are healed, and we are healed. First and foremost, you got to make sure you know Jesus in the palm of your sin, that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Second of all, I pray that you have the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is a reminder and it's a keeper and it will guide you. It's a teacher. He will teach you all things, even when man don't teach you, when man don't take time and spend with you. But I'm a living witness that God, if you have the Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost will remind you what you learn on Sunday or what you learn on Wednesday when your mind has forgot, but the Holy Ghost haven't forgot anything. I will submit to you today that as you recognize the little girl in you that needs to be healed, so therefore you can be a better mother, because all of you out there want to be a better mother, including myself. None of us have arrived. None of us arrived. We're still walking this thing out. We still have children to raise, even when the children is gone out of my house. I constantly pray for my daughter and her husband and her and my grandbaby. I constantly pray for them, and I find myself do more work now than I was all the years of her life, because I realized that I am a teacher to the day I die. I realize that. I realize that I train her to listen to my voice, and I train her to listen to the voice of God. I train her to do that, and now and I'm still training her. And even in my kids, they're still at home. They're grown, but they're still at home. I'm still their mom, and I love them so dearly. So as we close out the conclusion of this, I'm gonna let Lady Thomas to complete there, and then I'm gonna open up the gates. And if you have a question, I would need to know, and then we can. Allow you to be on live, that you can be able to have your questions. Amen. So, Lady Thomas, go ahead and finish us off. say what you need to say to the women of God out there, all these sisters, all these mothers that's on the line today.
Amen. I just agree with Pastor Teresa in saying that it's not finished. It's not over. You can be that mother, that woman of God that God has created you to be. God has given you the grace. Once he has opened your womb to have a child, even if he hadn't opened your womb, you have godly children that are around you, your nieces, your nephews. That is your opportunity to love on them, to pour them, pour the water of the word of God over them, to refresh them, to let them know that they can be victorious. They don't have to be beaten down by the world system, the world's ways, because God has overcome the world. And so can we. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we can overcome the world. We are victorious. You are victorious. I just speak life into you right now that you are victorious. You can do what God has called you to do because he has given you the grace. That free, unmerited favor, that grace, that love and kindness and peace he has given you. You are a blessed woman of God, and we love you.
Amen. And we want to say, you know, if you have any questions, I don't see no questions out there yet, but you have any questions, but we get the broadcast is getting ready to end. We're going past. I did put a little more time on it, so just in case, we were going to go over this a little bit. But I want to say to you, God loves you just like my sister said. He loves you. And, baby, there's nothing you can do about it. I promise you, there's nothing you can do about the love of Jesus. One thing about God loves us even in our sin. And that's right. Why he sent his son to walk on this earth and die on the cross and then rose up in 3 days just because of us. He thought about you.
Yes.
Right now in your situation, your secret thing that you're trying to keep nobody know about, God already know about it. And he said, I'm waiting for you just to give it to me. I'm waiting for you to give me that pain. I'm ready. I'm waiting on you to give me that rape, that abuse, that neglect, that your mama dropped you, your daddy dropped you, neglect you, and abandon you. He wants to take that from you. But he said, will you give that to me tonight? Will you give that to me tonight? Will you give me that hurt? Will you give me that abortion? Will you give me that rape? Will you give me that? Because he said, because if you give it to me, I promise you he will not bring it back up. I promise you, I promise you he will heal you from the inside out. But he said, you got to give it to me first. You got to give it to me. I would say to you tonight that not only God wants to heal you from your thoughts, he wants to heal you in your heart. He said, I've seen your heart bleeding. I see your heart bleeding, and I want to heal your heart. He wants to heal you to the point when you talk and speak, that if you do cry, it would not be a cry of pain, but it will be a cry of joy. It's nothing like when you cry out to God and cry, and you tell your testimony, but you're not crying because the memory of it. You're not crying because how much pain it caused. You're crying because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's because you know if it was not for God, you would not be who you are today. I tell you this, I wouldn't want to go through what I went through all over again, but I wouldn't change anything either. I promise you it made me who I am today. And sometimes it don't always feel good. And I still have to train my mind. And when the enemy try to come back and bring certain thoughts or bring certain feelings, I have to pull down strong imagination. Anything that's a hot zone itself against God, I have to tear it down. I have to speak to the wind. And that's what some of us need to do tonight. We need to speak to the wind. And see, God has given us the power to speak to the wind. Speak to your hurt. Speak to your pain. Speak to your children in a love voice, in that love voice that God has created women to have. See, it's something about what God has. God created us so different than man. He created us to be nurturers. We are nurturers by trade. We are nurturers by the womb. And some of you saying, you know, I don't have my nurture didn't tap on, my nurture didn't click on right away. I understand. But I tell you much this, I will tell you this. If you go to the foot of Jesus and tell Jesus all about it, I promise you, you will never be the same. This has been Share Talk with my co-host, Nakisha Thomas. She has been an awesome job. I really appreciate you being on with me today. I'm looking forward to next week. Next week is going to be another topic, and we're going to have a guest, another special guest that's going to be on with us next month, because next week it will be our third Monday, and third Monday is catered to singles. So if you're a single out there, you don't want to miss next Monday. We're going to be right here. Now, the time has changed. We will be airing starting at 6:30, not 7, but 6:30. I haven't had the time to go through all the media stuff that's been put out to actually change the time to my website. I have not had the opportunity to do that yet. So please do know the time has changed for Share Talk. It is now aired at 6:30 and go from there. But next week we will be on our third episode and we'll be dealing with singles. And on the fourth Monday we'll be dealing with the teen girls. And y'all gonna be have a good old time. Well, we're gonna have a good old time. I'm gonna have a good old time with the young people because we have like four or five co-hosts, and they're young people, and they're going to be on the air, and we're going to be answering questions, and we're going to be having dialogue with other young people online. So tell you got a young person in your house, ages 13 all the way to 21 years old, tell them about Share Talk on Friday, and let them know, the fourth Monday, and let them know that we're going to be on the air right here at 6:30, and we're going to be creating dialogue about the things that teens deal with, and we're going to be giving suggestions and strategy based on the Word of God. Amen. Well, we thank you for tuning in. This has been Share Talk. Well, we believe and we understand that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but can make you better as we share, talk, and grow. I want you to listen to this last commercial, and I thank you, and I thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next Monday. Stay tuned for the commercial.
You have been in tune with Share Talk with Pastor Teresa, brought to you the way of Teresa Burton Ministries. You can meet Pastor Teresa here every Monday at 7 p.m. for a live empowerment session guaranteed to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her website at teresaburtonministry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by calling 347-850-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.